Mark, I don't know if you noticed sort of a strange melting kind of smell in the studio yesterday.
I actually really did. Yeah, what was that?
Don't worry, it wasn't a fire. It was just my latest interview with Phoenix writer Amy Silverman to talk about her latest Raising Phoenix column for Phoenix Magazine.
Okay, but again, why the melting?
Right. That was because of the iron. You see, this month, Amy wrote about her love of embroidery, particularly politically influenced embroidery, and she brought in a friend, textile artist Ann Morton. She is the creator of a project called The Violet Protest, a public effort to send 50 handmade textile squares to each and every member of Congress and to do it in both blue and red materials.
Okay, again, but why the melting?
Right. Okay, so she brought in her ironing board and a square and some blue and red material, and I got to make a square for her project right here in the studio.
Well, this particular square that you're going to make is what I'm calling a no-sew square. So no one has an excuse to say they're not a fiber artist. So this is this iron-on adhesive that just peels off. And there's lots of cut-up pieces of red and blue. So you can just arrange those pieces however you want on this glue, this adhesive that's on the back of repurposed denim. And then you iron that on and you have a wonderful square. You can then stitch on that, embroider on that, but you don't have to. It makes a beautiful square even if you don't stitch on it. So
let's do it. Okay. So I take this off.
Yes.
And then we can pick whatever we want here.
You can.
So here I picked an assortment of red and blue patterns to arrange on the square, and we'll speed this up.
Press the iron carefully at first because these are all loose.
Oops. It looks so good.
It does look good.
Okay, so what Ann Morton is doing is just one example of the kind of blending of politics and textiles and embroidery that Amy wrote about in Phoenix Magazine this month. And for her, it all began when she was looking for a hobby some years ago.
There's a boutique in Phoenix called Francis, one of my very favorite spots in town. And George Ann Bryant, the owner, had just a little workshop on how to embroider. And I took a look at it, and I thought, maybe I could do that. And I went and learned just one stitch, the back stitch. This was, I don't know, 10 years ago. I've never learned another stitch. I went to SAS and bought a bunch of fabric and thread, and I had a cute bag to shove it all in, which was probably my main motivation for doing it. And it's just, it's very satisfying to poke.
Which you're doing now.
Poke the needle into the fabric and pull the thread through, as long as you don't like knot it in the back by accident, which I often do.
Okay, but then it became political, or you discovered that it is political in some circles. So I want to read this to you because I love this quote. You wrote, "The idea of there being an intersection between art and letters to make a statement feels right." What do you mean by that?
Well, so I really got into the whole embroidery thing for a lot of reasons. A local artist, Angela Ellsworth, was photographing the backs of her embroideries, and I loved that as well because the backs of my embroideries, it already probably looks terrible, and I love that idea of being able to see behind the scenes to somebody's artwork. And then I noticed that people were giving me gifts of cross stitches that had a lot of words on them that I can't say on KJZZ. And then I noticed it was getting subversive in this really active way. And I noticed that on social media. A couple years ago, I think, an Instagram account popped up called So Many Comments, SEWMANYCOMMENTS. And if you're a journalist, like you are, Lauren, you know that we're always told, don't read the comments. You know, don't read the comments online. And this was a copy editor at the time at the Dallas Morning News who was embroidering choice quotes from the comment section on the newspaper. And I thought that was about the funniest, smartest thing I'd ever seen. And I loved the idea of committing them to fabric with thread.
So then you kind of really get into this. You started a Stitchin', which rhymes with something else, at Changing Hands Bookstore. You discovered that there's this kind of world of political embroidery. So this kind of convergence between the political arena and embroidering is where our next guest comes into the conversation. So Anne, welcome, and tell us about the Violet Protest.
Yes, the Violet Protest is a project where we are attempting to collect enough handmade textile squares of all kinds. You can knit, you can piece, you can embroider, you can screen print, weave, crochet. Enough of those squares to send 50 of those squares to each member of Congress in 2021. So that's the new 117th Congress.
How many squares is that altogether?
That that's is 26,750 squares.
Wow.
So we're reaching out all across the United States and beyond, if people are so moved, to make these squares. And we've only had the project out in public for about a month and a half. And we're encouraged with the response so far.
And this will be an exhibition at the Phoenix Art Museum when it's done, I understand. How did you come up with this idea?
Well, this is not a new effort for me. I am a fiber artist. I teach textiles. Right now I teach that class at Mesa Community College. But I did a project in 2013 with the city of Phoenix called Ground Cover. And I reached out to makers to make blankets, and those blankets had 28 squares, and each of those squares was a pixel in an image that made a giant image of desert flowers. So we covered a city block with those blankets. We had 300 blankets, and we estimate that we engaged about 600 people all across the United States for that project. And so because of that, it was such a moving project for me that I've been doing that kind of work ever since. I make my own work too, but I do really enjoy the public engagement projects.
Yeah, yeah. So the violet protest, this is blending red and blue. Why do this now? Is this about this particular kind of political moment we're in?
That's correct. I've had this project cooking in my head for, gosh, even before this administration in some way or another, but it never really came together quite right. Because in a public project like this, it's really important to have a framework that works for people and engages people. And so when this opportunity with the Phoenix Art Museum came up, it seemed like everything fell into place. The idea of red and blue making violet. I've taught color for years in the colleges, and so I know my color wheel. So it's 2020. We know that we're in the midst of the election season. And so because of the divisiveness in our country right now, I'm reaching out to all kinds of makers, whether they're from a red persuasion or blue persuasion or any place in between, because the act of doing any kind of fiber technique is very meditative. And the idea is that people are working with equal parts of red and blue, and they're bringing them together in a square that's cohesive. And as they work, they're thinking about red ideas, they're thinking about blue ideas. And so it's a demonstration of the fact that we as citizens are willing to come together, and we're kind of reminding our elected officials that they can do the same.
So I want to ask you both then, what is it about this that you love? Amy, you mentioned the satisfaction of actually sticking the needle through the material, bringing it through. There's something, as you say, sort of subversive about embroidering and then making that political. How do you both see this?
Yeah, I love it because there is actually a really rich tradition of subversive embroidery that predates current times. And I interviewed a rhetoric professor from ASU who talked a lot about the historic value of embroidery and sort of the surprising nature. I love that it tends to draw women, although I don't think it's only women. I'm guessing it's not only women who've made squares for you, Anne. I love that it's something that you can do as part of a community, that you can share it creatively with others. And I've gotten so much inspiration from friends who do it and from looking at other projects. And I also really love it because it's actually a form of artwork that I can accomplish. It's pretty, the entry point is pretty low.
Is that what you think about when you do these sort of community engagement projects, Anne?
Well, there's a history of that kind of community. When you think of textiles, you think of quilting bees or knitting circles. And the whole idea of a fiber aesthetic is this idea of accretion, where one stitch after the other finally makes a whole piece. And so I'm using that idea of accretion by using lots of people to do little parts of a larger whole. And that's, I think, what gets people excited, that they can do one little part of themselves just the way they want to, no matter what their style or what their technique is, and feel like they're a part of something bigger that gives them a larger voice. And that's really exciting for me.
All right. Artist Anne Morton, creator of The Violet Protest, and Amy Silverman talking to us about her newest column for Phoenix Magazine, Raising Phoenix. Thank you both for coming in.
Thank you.
And if you want to participate in the Violet Protest and make your own red and blue square, head to our website for more information. That is theshow.kjzz.org.